Welcome, everybody, to episode 420. Light 'em up. This is RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug. Gentlemen, how are you on this Rogue One Friday?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Tired.
Yeah. I'm actually shocked that you didn't enter with
Star Wars.
That one song. Because I got high, that song, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I should have. But
I'm kind of shocked you didn't.
Play a clip from Cheech and Chong.
Yeah. I just got back from Rogue One, so I was scrambling to get here, and now I'm trying to eat and all that stuff. But anyways, gentlemen, we will be talking Rogue One. We'll try to do it as spoiler-free as we possibly can. I can't promise anything. Mm-hmm. So this is your warning. If you have not seen Rogue One, once we get to review Rogue One, you may want to tune out for about 10, 15 minutes and then come back.
Here's your massive Rogue One spoiler.
Yes.
Aerith dies.
Yeah, here's your other spoiler. Darth Vader dies, too. So there you go.
Wait, dies.
Eric was in the movie and he died. You were in the movie, Eric?
Aerith. Aerith.
Aerith dies.
Like when Sephiroth jumped down off the Death Star and, you know.
Well, Sephiroth died too.
Speared Rogue One through the chest.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Well, and Sephiroth died too. It was just like massive.
We don't know that for sure.
Well, yeah, we don't.
They kind of left that a little open.
His mimetic legacy came upon us and
right.
Children. That's what happened. That's why he didn't die.
Right. All right, gents.
I'll say that the fates of those who, the fates of those left behind is not in doubt.
I was really happy with the small cameo by Lightning, who got flattened by one of those walkers. That was great. I enjoyed that.
It's always good to see Lightning get flattened.
Yes, absolutely. All right, gentlemen, let's get started with the news. While you guys do the news, Breakman, you take over hosting duties for about 10, 15 minutes, man. Let's start with
all right,
the news.
Then. Yeah. Well, since I'm the host, Frank, read the first story.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Okay. All right. God damn it.
Nice.
All right, here we go. From Gamatsu, Fate Extella launches January 17th in North America. And there's your story. In addition to the standard release, a Noble Phantasm edition will contain a 7.5-inch by 6 1/3-inch hardcover art book featuring over 100 pages of high-quality artwork, a pack of 16 collectible 3x5 cards, so basically index cards, and a 24x17 cloth poster, which is kind of cool, I guess. So there you go. And it's available for pre-order via the PS4 or PS Store. And that's about it, guys. So, pretty cool. Fate Extella launches January 17th. All right. Here's my duty. I'm going to go eat.
All right. I'll read the next story. Coming to us live from Gamatsu. God damn it. Why did I volunteer myself? Atelier Sophie and Knights of Azure. I don't care if I pronounce either one of those wrong. Coming to PC via Steam on February 7th. By Koei Tecmo. Or Tecmo Koei. Or Toei Kemco? No?
Kemco.
Koei.
Yeah.
Koei Tecmo.
Them. So, did you guys want me to read the overview or do you want to move on to the next story?
Your call.
I was heavily insinuating let's move on to the next story.
Okay.
Eric.
We already talked about those games when they first launched. We don't need to talk about them again.
Yeah. You want to read the next story, Eric?
Yeah, the next story is some silly string era. It says, races evolve in unique ways in Final Fantasy Legend-inspired Waga, although it's technically Saga, so why are they referring to Legend specifically? Whatever. It says, Waga, a free RPG inspired by Final Fantasy Legend, tasks players with leveling your party in different ways depending on the races of the characters in them, like Saga. So it's even called Waga. It's like you can't be more obvious.
Waga
offers two different races, humans and espers. I'm pretty sure Saga had a lot more than that. So you're already kind of shooting yourselves in the foot here. But espers evolve naturally in combat with their stats growing as they fight. So it's like normal in RPG. But they can gain new abilities with each win. Although these abilities will swap out like an old. With an old one at random, so they're also kind of like monsters. That's what monsters did in the original Saga games. They become different monsters and get different sets of abilities. But powers put in the character's fourth power slot are saved for from this potential change, so you can keep some of them. And but it says players might find themselves randomly losing a good ability. Humans do not go through combat and only get stronger with items and equipment. Players can save up money to get better items, but will have to balance between their expensive needs and the more unpredictable powers of Vespers. Also, weapons in the Saga game also had durability on them.
All right.
Yeah, that was always the most annoying thing to me, personally.
That's been a Saga thing since forever, but I think they've since excised it. Oh, good. They've made it less painful. Like, you can fix your weapons, but it's going to cost you money or life points or something.
Okay, that's at least a little better.
Any bets on how long MXT is going to be in chat tonight, guys?
Nope. But I was wondering, did the developer ask their 2-year-old child to name this game, or how did they come up with that name?
Waga. It's like a play on Saga, but yeah.
Well, there's also no plot,
but then again,
well,
the original.
Hang
Saga
on a second. Waga also means, like, it's an old way of saying my or mine in Japanese.
Okay.
All right, that makes sense.
Well, now I feel bad. I didn't know it was for me.
Could be a racist.
I mean, and I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying that's what it could be.
Yeah, quit being racist.
All right. I've been busted.
Oh, here's something that's not racist, though. Because Breakman can actually play this game.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, coming to us from RPG Site.
I'm sorry. I thought Frank was back and was leading. My bad.
It's all good. Go ahead.
I dropped the mic. Sorry.
All right. The previously announced Valkyria Chronicles series will continue in the West on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One for the latest entry in the series, Valkyria Azure Revolution, which is coming West as Valkyria Revolution. Because apparently, if you look at break, nobody
apparently
can pronounce Azure. Yeah, well, people can't pronounce the word Azure.
Right.
Sega announced the news today via press release, confirming the title change to drop the word Azure from the release to fit better with the original game in the series, Valkyria Chronicles. Valkyria Revolution.
To be fair, before you go on, to be fair, it's not fair to other people to compare them to me.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be a significantly different take on the series. It takes place in an entirely different setting with an all-new cast. It even drops the series' previously tested style of combat, which makes it sound like they're just going for name recognition.
Right.
Going for something that's more a blend of action and tactical stuff. It'll still be an RPG under the hood, mind. The gameplay shifts have us curious and, yes, a little nervous, but this series has managed to hit the right note so far, so fingers crossed that continues. The big news is that it's coming to both platforms that it came to in Japan, PS4 and Vita, plus an Xbox One version is being added as well. Everybody wins.
Yeah,
on top of all that, the game is definitely coming out in Europe as well, with Deep Silver publishing the game out there. The Vita version will be digital only.
It's worthy the note that the original release, back when it was just a demo, got feedback from Sega to make it more RPG-like.
Well, it's also interesting that it's coming out on the Xbox. I mean, I haven't heard of very many RPGs on the Xbox. So that's,
it's a port to the Xbox. They normally wouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
right. But I mean, but that's still that'd be the second Eastern RPG to come there, basically.
Yeah.
The only other RPGs on there are Final Fantasy and like Fallout, stuff like that.
Does backwards compatible Lost Odyssey count?
No, it does not.
No. Dungeon Buncher says Americans will get confused by Azure, so let's remove it. Yeah, whatever. That's so stupid.
Americans are dumb. It's like reverse racism. It's like we want to be accommodating to America, but we think they're stupid, so we're going to dumb everything down.
Yeah.
No, that's just racism. I hate the word reverse racism, the term, because it's dumb.
I'm not saying Japanese are being racist here. I'm saying the marketers are.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one.
Reverse racism doesn't make any sense. It's racist.
People don't know what Azure is. People know what blue is, and there's no such thing as purple. It's grape drank.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says feedback on the initial demo was not kind, so that's kind of ominous. Probably just because of the change, I'm guessing. But once people get used to it, they might like
it. I remember the Koi commercial where they said purple stuff instead of grape.
All right, yeah. Gamatsu, Torment, Tides of Numenara launches February 28th, Day 1 and Collector's Edition announced. The game will be available in two editions, like I said. Day one edition, which includes the game box and disc, because we all remember that, what was it, Wolfenstein, that didn't even include the disc. Original soundtrack CD, 100-page traveler's guide, digital, printed map of the Ninth World, exclusive in-game armor, and pre-orders only will get the exclusive steelbook. Collector's Edition will have all of that stuff, plus an 8-inch statue of the first cast-off, which is, that's decent, I guess, 8-inch. Printed map, which I already mentioned, 80-page hardcover art book, original soundtrack CD, titled Talisman Keychain, and exclusive in-game armor. And then there's a brief overview.
Horse armor?
Yeah, horse armor. Are they still did they ever get that off of the store, like, permanently, the horse armor? Or did they?
I don't think they'd take it off. The best they could probably do is make it free.
Oh, my God. It's awful. All right. All right, Eric. Next story, please.
Next story is Legend of Heroes Katsuki Nosekiseki is coming to the PS Vita, and in case you didn't remember, it was originally a smartphone game, but PC. I thought it might have been a smartphone, but says a service start schedule for the PS version will be shared via the game's official website when it has been decided. So this is an announcement of a future announcement.
Yeah. Non-story. Yeah. All right,
but I don't remember hearing any buzz about it being good. Then again, I haven't.
Well, it's not made by Falcom, so.
Yeah.
Dungeon Buster's been waiting for a new Minara, so he's hoping it's good. I hope to say, man.
Did I pronounce it right? Akatsuki?
Yeah.
Akatsuki, yeah.
All right. Let's go with Breakman next.
I forget what that translates to.
I'm trying to remember. It's like it's might have something to do with the moon, but I can't freaking remember.
Well, I remember seeing on Silicon Era they were translating it as dawn. Oh,
it's dawn or daybreak. Mm.
All right.
It can also mean in event, like in the event of kind of thing.
All right, Breakman, next story.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, The Legend of Heroes, Akatsuki?
That's the one he just read.
Wait. Yep, next story.
How did I?
Next story.
Although, believe me, I would love to hear you read the story.
Yeah, I would too. But
I thought he read the Numera story.
No,
that's what Frank did.
Oh, okay, my bad. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Nintendo Switch exclusive Seasons of Heaven looks pretty in new teaser trailer. Yeah, it does. It does look very pretty.
Yeah, it sure does, man.
Fresh Studio Any Arts Productions is working on a new Nintendo Switch exclusive title, Seasons of Heaven, which is expected to be fully revealed this month. Wow. It looks really fucking pretty.
It does. It looks really fantastic. I saw the trailer for this, and the environments look good. I mean, this is – the Nintendo Switch is fairly impressive from what I've seen so far.
No game specs yet, but apparently, according to rumors that they are believed, it's a weaker than even the Xbox One is.
I really don't care. I think it looks –
considering it's supposed to be a portable console – I kind of expected that.
Yeah. What's weird is how small it is. I didn't realize, like, this thing's freaking tiny. Like, it's smaller than the Wii U gamepad.
Does
anybody have a link to that?
Most Nintendo consoles are very small.
Yeah.
Like, if you open up, like, the original NES, for instance, like, that's just mostly plastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I was thinking, like, you know how you, like, take the two sides off and you can use them as individual controllers and stuff? I'm like, that just seems incredibly impractical. Because those things are freaking tiny.
Yeah, well,
they're like the size of a Wii nunchuck.
Well, oh no!
Yeah,
the most evil person in the world has come into the chat.
Freak Five's in chat. What's up, Freak Five?
Let me read this real quick to before we move on. Yeah. Not much is known about the gameplay, but the story revolves around a young boy named John with Asperger syndrome who travels alongside his bulldog buddy named Ani. That's really cool, I think.
Really
except there's no such thing as Asperger's anymore. It's been folded into developmental disorders. It's just part of the autism spectrum now.
Right. The game is currently being made with Unreal Engine 4, and it uses the Seasons of Heaven novel written by Nico Augusto as a story.
That's interesting, man. I dig it. I think it looks good. I'm you know what? I'm starting to get more and more excited for the Switch. So I don't know. That's really cool. All right, let's move on to the next story. Let's go with Mug on this one.
All right. Coming to us live from... Wait, that's not the right story at all. Okay. I'm just looking at the wrong tab. Anyway, coming to us live from Silicon Era. I love this title. It was one of my favorite titles, I think, ever. Hazelnut Bastille. It's a top-down homage to A Link to the Past, and it looks it. It's a top-down adventure game built by developers who are inspired by, quote, the great lineage of superior design from the mid-90s, the moment in time when mainstream 2D titles reached arguably their greatest level of refinement in titles such as Super Metroid and Link to the Past, end quote. Hazelnut Bastille, love that, tells the story of a woman who has lost something valuable to her and seeks the promised gifts of mythological ancients in order to have that thing returned to her. To find those gifts, she'll need to explore a far-off land, finding its buried dungeons and hidden secrets. Like Link in A Link to the Past, the heroine is armed and ready to deal with her situation using a variety of weapons and magics, but with enemies having various weaknesses, she'll need to learn which item works best in each combat situation. These same items can act as tools to solve puzzles when enemies are not about, playing through a mixture of combat and brain-teasing moments as the game tests both the reflexes and the mind. So, yeah, Zelda. Yeah. The game will also feature many different items that the player can find, many of which have unique uses or can be combined with other items to make handy tools. That's different.
That's a little different.
Barring that, many of them can be sold or traded in quests to unlock special equipment or gain information on the world's secrets. A demo for the Link to the Past inspired experience is in the works and will hopefully be released in early 2017. Mm. Players can learn more about the game for now on the Hazelnut Bastille site and through the game's IndieDB site.
Cool. I'm down. Looks cool. I thought of the original Zelda at first. I didn't even think of Link to the Past, but looks good.
Well, the layout of that first screenshot is definitely like old school, you know, NES Zelda, but like, right. The graphics are
like, oh, yeah, like Super Past. Metroid. Or, yeah.
And it looks like they took the exact color scheme from Zelda, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit more pastel, but yeah, very similar.
Yeah. All right, next story from Gamatsu is Bully Scholarship Edition Catherine Moore added to Xbox One backward compatibility. So these are the games that you can now play on Xbox One, Bully Scholarship Edition, which I think Bully is kind of an underrated kind of game. Catherine, which is a pretty good puzzler. I liked it.
Not insanely hard.
It is. It does get really, really hard. Although I found myself kind of getting through that game okay. Like once you find the patterns, you can kind of get through that game.
I only played the demo and holy crap, it broke me.
Yeah. Clannad, Planets Under Attack, Rascals. I think that was a shitty game, if I don't
remember. Clannad's Japanese exclusive, yeah. But it's interesting that even Japanese games are getting added to the backwards compatibility.
I've never played any of these games.
Yeah, I didn't either. I heard of Rascals, but that it was awful. And Sky Drive Proximity Flight from Gaijin Entertainment. So those are the new ones that are backward compatible. I think the big ones are Catherine and Bully. So there you go. All right, next story, let's go with Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Rewrite, Ignis Memoria announced for smartphones. Following the launch of Countdown website earlier this week, Visual Arts has announced Rewrite, Ignis Memoria, a strategy RPG social game based on Key's love adventure game Rewrite, due out for iOS and Android in Japan this winter. Did you guys want me to tell you the story?
I think we're good, man. Okay. I think we're good. It doesn't even give – it says Android in Japan this winter. It doesn't even give you a date and time. So nah. We'll probably discuss it when it comes out. Eric, next story, please.
The next story, when I originally found this, there was a typo right in the header. It used to say the RPG Primer is a humorous RPR about Sinister Evil Tutorial. It was missing the A and it was supposed to be RPG. They fixed it. Right. They're actually listening to us or they're learning?
Yeah. Maybe they're learning.
No, obviously they're listening to us.
Or it's a fluke and they'll never do it again.
Loyal listeners, don't make them mad.
Anyways, it says, while most RPG heroes accept the tutorial as a necessary evil to learn the ropes in combat, the hero of the RPG Primer, a step-by-step guide, guides in all caps, so that's an acronym, finds himself in the never-ending segment run by the evil guy at a force that intends to keep him stuck and learning the basics forever.
Not talking silly. About the gameplay, but looking at the pictures, it looks like every bad Final Fantasy ripoff game I've ever seen.
Yeah, and you know what I thought of when I see the first screenshot? I wish I could show you guys in chat, but you guys can look it up in the link. Look up Primer RPG, and the first screenshot that you're going to see on Siliconera, it looks like Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. That's what I thought when I looked at that screenshot. I'm like, is that Star-Lord? It looks a lot like Star-Lord. Oh, wow. Well.
Anyways, it says it's a mixture of puzzle game and turn-based RPG. And it says a series of different threats, each with their own mechanics that have been devised by Guide under the guise of teaching, in quotes. And, of course, you have to figure out the...
Figure out what, Eric? Did we lose Eric? I think we lost Eric.
How to best use the new abilities you gain in each battle quickly. Yeah.
You're kind of breaking up. But
you're disappearing on us there.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, we hear you.
No, I mean, like, your signal's cutting out. Yeah, like
cutting in and out. That's all right, man.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. All right, next story.
You sound like an urgent message from the Rebellion.
Should I quote? Yeah, I think I'm going to leave the chat room because it's causing lots of problems.
All right, man. Let's go with Mug. Next story, please.
All right, coming to us from the site, which must not again be named, Menchie's Yogurt customers can get Dragon Quest Builders battle tickets. Square Enix has announced a...
Eric, let Mug sing. Let Mug sing the next story.
Yes, yeah. He can sing.
Square Enix has announced a collaboration. But yeah, anyway.
Oh, man, that's fucking awesome.
With Menchie's Yogurt. Throughout January 2017, people who sign up for or have a Menchie's My Smileage program card will be able to get free DLC for Dragon Quest Builders. They will also be entered into a sweepstakes to win Dragon Quest Builders-related prizes.
Well,
and PlayStation 4s every time they use the card. The Dragon Quest Builders begins on January 1st, 2017, and ends January 31st, 2017. I think they mean the promotion.
Yeah.
Menchie's My Smileage customers will get codes for the Golden Golem and Skeleton Soldier Battle Ticket DLC for the game. Each time a purchase is made and the card is used, they'll be entered in the sweepstakes that will give winners PlayStation 4s, copies of Dragon Quest Builders, and slime toys.
Yeah.
It will also be possible for My Smileage customers to enter via the official website once the contest begins. It is available for the PlayStation 4 and PS Vita.
Yeah.
Well, I want to take the blunt object in. Bludgeon, whoever thought My Smileage was a good name.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad, man. And it's kind of a weird promo. Like who really is going to go into Menchie's for that, man?
I've never been to a Menchie's. I don't even have a frozen yogurt place nearby at all.
There's a Menchie's
near me. They're not bad. They're just expensive as hell.
Yeah, I've never been. Looks all right, but... prices, Dungeon Buster says. Yeah, exactly.
I have the orange leaf, but I'm not sure. Something. I don't know what it was called.
Yeah. All right.
Orange Julius.
No, not that.
All right. Last story coming to us from RP Gamer. Tekoden 2 heads west in 2017. Koei Tecmo announced that its action RPG sequel Tekoden 2 will be released in North America.
Tokiden.
All right, yeah. Tokiden then. The publisher did not announce which platforms. The localized version will be available, with the game being released in Japan for the PS3, PS4, and PS Vita, which I'm guessing it will be
PS3, probably just PS4 and Vita.
Accompanying the announcement was a four-minute animation from Studio 4 Degrees Celsius that focuses on events that take place prior to the game. Tokiden 2 is a sequel to Tokiden Age of Demons and Tokiden Kiwami, where an event known as the Awakening has caused swarms of monsters called Oni to invade the world and hunt down humanity. Anybody remember that game Oni? I don't know.
I remember. I never played it, but I saw it. It was an early Bungie game.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I watched
it had weird controls, if I remember.
Yeah, it had interesting ideas. It looked like a lot of fun and cool ideas, but the gameplay was the problem with it.
Yeah, controls gameplay wasn't great. Yeah. All right, that's the end of the news for this edition of RP Grinders. Any homie discounts, Eric?
You can get Lost Odyssey for free on Xbox Live until the 31st.
It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. And that's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
It's actually that game has one of the best localizations I've ever seen.
That's big praise.
It'll set you back 16 gigs because it has all the four discs on it.
Yeah, because it's it was a four disc game but it's about 16 gigs.
They didn't bother pricing it at all.
Well, it's not like they really. Yeah, of course they're not going to do that. They never do that for the digital releases.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also taking up four DVDs. So.
Yeah. All right. Any Twitter questions, Breakman?
Maybe.
All right.
Oh, yeah, of course. There are, actually.
All right.
There's a actually Freak sent us his Stinko of the Week. He is upset that a nativity scene inside the Iowa Capitol called Free Speech. Supporters of the manger scene say it represents the Christians are people of peace.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's...
I frankly don't give a shit.
I actually do give a shit, but for different reasons. But fuck, I don't like
it's supposed to be a separation of church and state. But at the same time, I really don't. I just really don't care. His sweeto is that he has heard the Satanic Temple is already planning a response.
Ah, well, that's good too. Mm-hmm. I mean. Fuck it. If they're going to allow that, then they should allow the other.
I agree with that.
Well, the Satanic Temple is also – they're also using their religious freedom thing against the that abortion thing that passed in Ohio. It's like the six-week bill didn't pass, but a 20-week one did.
Well, that's because Kasich was half a person and vetoed one and not the other, right? I mean, that's what it boiled down to. But
pretty much.
All right. Anything else? Breakman.
He has Would You Rather for us.
Yes.
Interesting one. Right. Very, very interesting one indeed. Would you rather eat your favorite food for every meal or eat something you have never had before once a day?
Ooh, this is a good question.
That's very interesting.
What you're trying – may not be something that you find particularly edible.
Right.
That's fine.
I know.
Yeah.
Could be like...
It's still 50-50 chance of it turning out well, though.
Yeah. Well,
but eating your favorite meal every meal...
Yeah.
Like after a week alone, you would probably hate it, you know? Yeah.
I would be fine with that, but I like trying new foods, so I would go with the trying new foods
every
day.
Plus, when you become malnourished that way.
It depends on what you're eating.
Yeah. God, that's an interesting question. I probably would do the eat something different that you've never tried every day. Probably would throw in some type of fucking animal penis in there every once in a while. I'd be like, ugh.
We're going to get you some Rocky Mountain oysters, my friend.
Oh, my God. No fucking way, dude. I'm good. I'm good.
Mm-mm, horse penis.
That's going to be the first meal you eat here, by the way, Mug. Is
whale penis.
You won't even know it. All right. All right. Anything else on Twitter?
No, that was enough, wasn't it?
Appreciate the.
He did send us a screenshot, which you guys can look at too. It's a joke about Frank's and his love for harmonica. You guys will see it. It's in chat.
Is it the car?
No.
Someone write a song called Ode to Frank, done entirely in harmonica.
Oh, my God. That would not be cool in any shape, form, or fashion.
I think that could be amazing, and I accept the challenge.
No, you do not accept that challenge.
It is, you learn how to pay first.
It is not a thing. It is not a thing. All right.
I do not have to learn how to play the game.
Oh, my God. That is the worst thing
ever. Bitch, you don't own me. You can't tell me what to do.
I can mute you, though. So that's one cool thing. I can mute that whole performance. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Mug, since we're talking to you, what have you been playing, man?
I finished The Last Guardian.
Oh, interesting.
And... I would say the game is 90% great, 10% unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah.
There's one part of the game in particular that's so badly done that it nearly ruined the entire game for me.
Ooh, wow.
And like this, it's a thing where it's like, okay, I'm like, immersion broken. I'm very obviously dealing with some really badly programmed AI at this specific moment. It involves a pool of water and trying to get the damn thing to dive. And it's like you can see it's getting caught up in these and just the, like, it'll get stuck in this one spot and it keeps going through this loop. Like, it just wants to climb up on this rock. Now it wants to go over to this other place. It doesn't want to come over here and do what I need it to. Yeah. And I actually uploaded a video to YouTube where it really fucked up and his head just started going around in all weird directions. Like, he's pulling a Regan from The Exorcist.
Oh my God. And I gotta see that.
Yeah. It's like, oh man. Cause like, and after it took about 2 hours just to get past, cause there's two of these rooms in a row.
Yeah.
And it took about 2 hours to get past them. And like, I had to stop several times because I was getting so frustrated.
Yeah.
And like, if they fix, if you know, aside from that, I really enjoyed the game. It is not as good as Eco or Shadow of the Colossus.
I really like still, both of those games.
It is
still, Jim Sterling really hates on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's got its problems. But it does, you know, it still feels like a Team Eco game because it very much is. The emotional connection is there, and it's like the storyline. I remember I mentioned before that it's much more upfront about its storytelling, but that only goes so far. The ending is still very vague. Like, okay, you'll understand a few things, but you'll still be left with like some significant questions. But that's not unusual for this, you know, for these games.
Yeah. Do you think the dev team will actually fix the game?
I hope so. As it is, it's very hard for me to recommend it, especially at full price, because it took me probably about 12 or 13 hours.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry about it.
I'm wondering if it was a case where they, instead of deciding to scrap the game, they had done too much work on it to just cancel it and start from scratch, and they just released it.
Well, it could be, but as, like, I'm hoping that they'll – because, I mean, it's like everything else. Like, they, you know, one of the things about it is like the – Trico, the creature, is not meant to just follow your commands like an automaton.
Yeah.
You know, it has like it has a mind of its own. It won't always do what you want. Mm-hmm. But it's like the point is that as the game goes on, it becomes more and more amenable to, you know, to you, and it follows your instructions better. And that does work, except for those two rooms.
Yeah. I gotta play something for MXT here in a sec. Sorry about that, guys. I don't even know how to fucking turn this off.
Hello. Leave a message after the
tone. God damn it.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to bring her off, which is the problem he's
saying. Damn it.
Sorry. Hey, baby, it's me again.
I don't even know what the fuck that was, man. I'm going to have to take that off every time. All right.
Telemarketers.
Check this out. This is for MXT in chat. Listen to this, guys, for about maybe 30, 45 seconds. Starting right about now.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American.
As long as they're white.
Yeah, exactly.
Fight for your life.
I'll fight for what's white.
Exactly.
Fucking Terry Hogan, piece of shit.
I really like that theme song, though, man. That's fucking awesome.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
All right.
80s, jeez.
I love it. It's awesome, man. All right. So continue on. Last Guardian. Final thoughts.
Yeah. I kind of have to go to an extent with Polygon's review. I would say like, you know, about a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's like it's good. It's ambitious, and you can see why. It's like this game would have never worked on the PS3.
Yeah.
But it's like it has its flaws, but it's also, it's like if you like the Team Eco games, if you liked Eco and Shadow of the Colossus, then, you know, this is still worth playing, but you might want to wait for the price to drop because I'm sure it will very quickly.
I'm actually a
huge, and it might be patched by then.
I'm actually a huge fan of those games. There were a couple of bosses in Shadow of the Colossus which were fucking damn near goddamn impossible for me, but I got through it. That one where you have to get on the horse and shoot the arrow at that flying one, that was, I thought that was fucking difficult.
Oh, I love that one, the one with the balloons.
Yeah, it was
the
really cool belly
ones. I thought that was one of the easiest ones, actually.
Oh my god, I had such like, a hard time with that one.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble with the next to last one, which is the one where you're in like the arena and you have to climb up on the sides to get on top
that
of it.
That was easy. I jumped on his fucking beard and beat the shit out of that one. But yeah, the other one, that one, the flying one, was super hard for me for whatever reason. Yeah. Kind of weird, but all right. What else? Play anything else, Smug?
Played a little bit more of The Witcher 3. That one's I've been kind of sidetracked, but I'm still spent taking my time with that one. And I'm probably going to wind up playing that game for months.
Yeah,
because I'm not going. I'm not so involved in it, at least not at this point, where I'm like, I just kind of want to sit and play it for hours. But I still like to go, go dabble with it. And that game's got so much shit to it.
Yeah, it's a great game. I started out, but I have no idea what the fuck is going on. I think I have to go back and play. I know Dungeon Buster said that you don't necessarily have to play the first two games, but I think I need to go back and play the first two just to get a little bit of context and kind of a feel for that game. But I do like how pretty it is. And
was there ever a Mac version of The Witcher?
No, but I can even do a Let's Play. They do a lot of Let's Play. I can do that, and then two, I can play. But that's all right. There we go. All right. Anything else, Mug?
That's it for games.
All right, Breakman, your turn. What have you been playing?
Mostly Fallout, and I'm playing nice right now. I'm trying to build up my town, lure people in.
So I can murder them later.
Well, I was hoping to roll over them, but if that doesn't work, then I'll just murder them.
Yeah. There you go.
That's need to update what you've been playing. It's the same as it's been.
I've been busy. I haven't gotten. I just got here right now. I didn't get here before the show started. I just got here right now. I didn't have a chance.
Yeah. There you go.
That's my excuse. So that's pretty much it, yeah.
All right, Eric. What about you?
I played some more of Carno Soja 2. And why I do like the story, I feel like they put way too much padding in this version. I'm wondering whether or not they received feedback, whether or not the first game was too short or something, because they clearly tried to make up for that and they overcompensated, because there's lots of filler dialogue that has nothing to do with the actual story. And I feel like with the sequel, they're trying to wrap up the series somehow, and they didn't have much of a story, so they just put extra shit in there just to make it longer. Mm. So it's kind of a letdown in that regard. But I'm learning a lot more about Japanese culture than I would have otherwise, though, because there's a glossary that tells you things that they talk about in the games that are highlighted. But other than that, I've been playing Pokemon Moon while on breaks at work, and my backer code for Shantae Half Genie Hero came out.
Nice.
They had the PS4 versions had come out before, but I went with the Wii U, so I had to wait a little bit longer. The game still comes out on Tuesday. Also coming out on Tuesday is Wild Guns Reloaded, which I also played for a bit. And I like Wild Guns a lot as a game, but I feel like, considering that it's an enhanced port, I kind of wish they had done more with it. Like, they don't explain how the two new characters work. And I mean, they do have a trailer video that shows you how they work, but an explanation would have been nice. Yeah. And the original game did have a manual, but of course this one doesn't because it's a PS4 game. Although I think there is a retail release, and that one might have a manual, but I think Sony needs to do something where every PS4 game that's a digital product needs to have a manual. Some of them do, most of them don't. But it would be nice to know how to play the game, because maybe there are things about the game I just don't know. Because the dog is a weird technical character where it uses a drone to fight, and it basically will auto-aim as long as it's targeting reticle is a in certain areas, but it's hard to actually move that reticle because it's a big wide area, and then it shoots in that box, anywhere in that box. But the dog kind of moves independently from the drone, but the drone does can act as a shield. So if it gets hit by a bullet, it will be disabled for a couple of seconds, but at least you'll save yourself from dying. Or if you need to jump out of the way, you can jump onto it and it will fly up in the air, so you can get extra height. So it's almost like controlling two characters, but yeah, there's no explanation how mechanics work in that game. And then there's the big lady that throws grenades, who's like the power character. She's slower, but even though her dash ability is much faster than the other character's dash ability, because there's almost no wait time between dashing, because the other characters will just like dive out of the way or something. And, well, she actually dashes, and but she's also kind of hard to control because if you're like doing a jump in the air and you accidentally hit the attack button, she'll do like a dive bomb attack and it'll leave her vulnerable. And so she's kind of hard to use that way.
All right, Eric.
But like, but it's still a fun game, but I kind of wish it had online play because you can do four-player local co-op, but I have nobody to play with, so yay.
All right. What else have you been playing, Eric? Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Let's move on to our Stinkos of the Week. Eric, let's start with you, man.
Wait, Eric, Frank, you didn't play anything?
I played MPQ, man. I've been busy with a lot of gotcha. life.
My Stinko is that my keyboard died before the show started.
Yeah, I know, man. I did not get
to scrambled to get a new keyboard, and I couldn't find one, so I just went to my parents' house, and now I'm here.
There you go. All right, Breakman, your Stinko of the Week.
One goes to the just two words: polar vortex.
What is that?
Is that like the Polar Bear Express, but vortex?
No, the polar vortex. That's the cold air that we're under right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's when the temperatures are going down into the single digits and below.
Yeah, that's going to be us tomorrow, man. I got to work tomorrow. It fucking sucks. I was going to talk about
They call them polar vortexes. There's a Arctic freezes and just so many other terms that I can't stand.
Yeah.
Well, the weather's going to keep getting weirder and worse. So.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know weird weather? It's today when I got up, it was I think like 8 degrees or something like that, and wind chill was made about -1. Tomorrow is supposed to be about 50.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was here. Like not that low, but we were getting like 40 degrees one night, and then the next day it would be like 85.
Yeah,
and it was crazy.
Yeah, that's like here.
And especially for like, and this was also happening right around like cold and flu season, so people would get sick, and then the constantly shifting temperatures made it so like it was impossible for people to recover. It was just like they were staying miserable for weeks on end.
Same thing here, guys. It was like 60 degrees yesterday to today, like down to like I don't know, it felt like fucking 35, and then tomorrow is supposed to be like 9 degrees, then back up to like 40 or something. It's like fucking stupid ass crazy weather. That was gonna be my stinkle of the week too. It's just fucking cold weather, man. I'm like seriously wanting to like live somewhere tropical, man. Fuck this goddamn shit, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. Whenever you're ready to move to a tropical island, call me up. I'll ship in.
Let's do it. All right, Mug.
I have another stinko.
Oh, go ahead, man.
This is the local. Every year, well, I should say not. He just started a few years ago, but there is a guy who's. Why is there an ad playing in my ear now? Yeah, close this. Okay. Anyways, there's a guy who does a nativity scene in his yard, and his nativity scene was vandalized this year.
I don't
like people vandalizing other people's stuff in the first place.
Right.
But
right.
The reason his was vandalized is because it's different. His is a zombie nativity scene.
Oh, man.
Zombie baby Jesus and stuff like that. It looks really cool, but because it's, I guess sacrilege to some people.
I would have been mad if you would have just stopped at nativity scene without the zombie stuff. I would have been pissed off because that you have no right to go into somebody's property and fuck up their shit.
Agree.
I'm actually an anti-theist. I don't, I rail against religion at every turn that I can, but I'm also very pro freedom of speech and.
And freedom of property and rights and stuff like that,
that's bullshit.
Just stop fucking with other people, If you have a problem with something, just walk away. Go do something else,
Do something.
Don't worry about it.
Write an article, a blog or something, I mean, come on.
That's what I was saying with like the nativity scene in the Capitol building. It's just like things that like bother me. I'm just whatever.
Well,
just trying to be over it and just move on.
That's actually something different because then that's a slippery slope, Breakman, and that, we can talk about that later. But I just want to.
I get it, but I'm just saying in general, a lot of things.
Dungeon Buster says we need to call Cobra and ask them to use their weather dominator to make things warmer. Yeah. No. Yep.
DB's such a nerd.
All right. God, he knows a lot about pop culture and cartoons and video games and shit like that. Dungeon Busters.
I think Cobra Commander would do it, but we're going to need at least $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. He says people need to grow up. I totally agree, Dungeon Buster.
And of course, we would have to give a rule of the planet to him, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think is so bad about religion. I mean, it kind of prevents people from growing up.
Yeah. All right, Mug, your Stinko of the Week.
I don't know if you guys have kept up much because I know that everyone's kind of feeling a little bit of Trump fatigue at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw there was a Trump actually went in front of his constituents and said, "Yeah, I screwed you over. I lied to you to get elected, and it worked." Maybe the hacking happened, maybe it didn't. I don't care. I won. And it's like all the stuff like the locker up. It's like, yeah, that plays. I literally said like, yeah, that plays great while during the campaign. But now, who cares? Yeah. That's not verbatim, but it's like that's like 95% accurate to what he said.
Yeah.
I'm like, this man is literally telling these people, yes, I used you. You got screwed, and I'm just getting started. And yet, people are still supporting him.
Yeah, I know, man. It's like Stockholm syndrome with Trump. Man.
Yeah, and it's like I mean, literally, like, and the thing with like on the Daily Show, the thing that Trevor Noah said, it's like, Trump's like a magician who's like kind of like Penn and Teller or James Randi's telling you like this is exactly how this is done, and people are still like, ooh, magic.
I think it's to use a Trumpism, sad. Like I was listening to the Young Turks today, and I think Cenk is right when he says that Trump has virtually no shot at winning a re-election, just because his main constituents. You have a certain section. I don't know what percentage, if it's 10%, 25%, that are just the racist, pieces of shit that are going to support him no matter what, right? And you can. Not discard them, but you can just kind of push those aside and look at the other remaining 80-75% of his supporters who actually do, are wanting.
Buyer's remorse.
Hold on.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who are like, there's a lot of people who are trying to like rationalize what's going on here. It's like, maybe he doesn't mean it. It's like, well, you took him, you took him at face value all these other times. Why would you start? Why would you stop now?
Right. One of the most frightening things he said. Not that I ever think that Donald Trump would get in the middle of 31st Avenue and shoot somebody, but he said he could get in the middle of 31st Avenue, somebody, and they would still vote.
His numbers wouldn't go down. Yeah.
Yeah. But already he's going into office as the least popular president in United States history. And Cenk was saying by the time 2020 rolls around, he could be in the lower 20s to teens as far as popularity goes. And I think that's going to happen. I just hope that he doesn't assume enough power to basically become a dictator.
I don't think that's a real danger because there are so many checks on power built into the American government.
Yeah, when people to Hitler, as I was saying, not going to happen.
There are lots of parallels, and there are plenty of people who are so swept up in this cult of personality that they will be more than happy to give him all kinds of crazy powers.
Look, here's
the deal. Hang on. Let me just say this real quick. The thing is, even if he never becomes, an honest to goodness, despot, he can still cause a lot of damage to the country.
No question about that. As far as being a dictator, I agree with you, Mug, that there are checks and balances. But look, Donald Trump has already fucking busted through with the train through a lot of checks and balances already. You know what I mean? I can't even believe that he got the nomination for one. I can't even believe he ran. I mean, that alone, like should just take people aback. Like, I don't even understand the whole fucking thing, man. I guess I don't have to. I just have to hope that I don't get killed within the next 4 years. So, whatever, you know. But anyways, there are parallels. And who's to say that he doesn't assume more and more power until the point where nobody can really do anything? You know, it's like – so it may as well –
Well, too much of the power in the upper echelons of government is vested in Congress for – You know, and even now you've got people like Mitch McConnell talking about the Soviet or not Soviet, the Russian hacking thing. And it's like, this cannot be a partisan issue. Fucking Mitch McConnell says that, like,
right.
You know, he is like one of the biggest party line Republicans.
Look, if it's found out that Trump had anything to do with the Russians and the Russian hacking, I mean, there's no question. Impeachment day one. As soon as they find that out,
and that's the thing. It's like he's you know, and someone pointed out. It's like, you notice how, you know, Trump is constantly talking. You know, he's blasting American intelligence agencies in the process of favoring Russia, mm-hmm. and Putin and like That's not, you know, that's circumstantial evidence, but it's pretty damning nonetheless.
Yeah, it's circumstantial, but where there's smoke, there's fire, man. I you know, there's more to that story than what we're seeing. I actually agree with Olbermann. I don't know if you guys ever see those GQ Olbermann short takes. I think he calls them the resistance now. He used to call them something else. But, you know, he was talking about how the Hamilton electors need to do their duty. Otherwise, why the fuck do we have the Electoral College? He's definitely not qualified to be president of the United States. So if ever there was a time that the Electoral College could work the way that it was intended, it was right fucking now. So let's just, you know, see how that goes. You know, I mean, we don't have a democracy.
I think the final one is what, on the – is it on the 19th or the 21st?
Yeah, Monday. Monday the 19th is the affirmation or – I've been hearing there actually is a lot of people kind of waning. So if we get all the Democrats to vote a different Republican candidate, we can get, 37, I believe, Republicans to vote differently, then maybe something can happen. But, I mean, it's a small chance, but it's a chance nonetheless. I really hope that the electors, you know, really think about that before they, you know, do that. Dungeon Buster says Russian intel trolled American politics. That's humiliating.
You know what, though? It's not something that we haven't done.
No, that there's no question.
The American government has influenced other countries politically.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
A lot of other countries. So, like, for us to be all up in arms about Russia doing it to us, it's like – we do it to everybody else.
Yeah,
okay?
You're right on that, Breakman. But
doesn't make it right, though.
I'm not. Doesn't make any of it right.
Right.
I mean, so we should still point it out because
we're being high and mighty when we're like probably number one in spying on everyone else.
Yeah. Nah, you're right, Breakman. There's no question about it. There's plenty of Latin American countries that we've done that to. Iran was another country that we did that to.
There
was
how about Iraq? Iraq.
Yep. Iraq. Iran, there was a democracy in place before we fucked that up.
Also, U.S. is committing terrorism in Syria.
Yeah. That
too. And lying about it.
That too. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot.
So it's like, I'm sitting back and I'm just watching this. Everybody's all up in arms about this. And I'm just like, it's kind of them retaliating against us, though, because we started it, really.
I don't remember a time we ever fucked with Russian politics, but, you know, I know there's been plenty of other instances of that.
I remember a president saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall."
Well, I mean, just because you say that,
that's political pressure. That's not like political engineering.
Yeah, right. You're right. But there was, I'm sure, underneath especially back then when there was no internet around and we couldn't get all the information we can now. There was a lot of underhanded stuff just got away with.
Look, Dungeon Buster says there's a difference, though. Imagine if this happened during the Cold War. Oh, fuck. There would have been so much.
See, that's the kind of – but this kind of stuff did happen during the Cold War.
I don't know.
This is the kind of stuff that's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah. Do we need
there was a lot of espionage back and forth.
Yeah. Do we need to actually commit another Civil War, but only this time it will be a Cold Civil War that's fought economically?
That's a possibility too, man. That's a possibility.
I'll argue that we're our average American citizens are already at war economically.
I would make that argument as well, Breakman. I really would. All right, let's move on to some happier topics. Sweeto of the week. Let's start with let's go with Breakman. Your Sweeto.
Okay, it's not really a Sweeto, but I didn't want to call it a lulz either. But since I started playing Fallout 4, there's been an interesting development.
Uh-oh.
One of my cats has suddenly started watching television.
What? This is interesting.
Yeah, well, as soon as she saw the dog, she has become fascinated with television. Now that's all she does. She'll come in the living room, she just stares at the television.
Yeah.
Sometimes she swats out a little bit, but now she's watching TV the whole day.
That's funny as fuck, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, we have a cat that'll do that. It's like, mm-hmm. I put on some videos of Motto, the little round cat that likes to play in boxes in Japan.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she does not like Motto. It's just like, the entire time. It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah. It's funny, like, she hates the dog that we have, but she's chasing after this video game dog on the screen now. And just, she's never had this interest before, and all of a sudden she sees this dog and something clicked with her, I guess.
Yeah.
Now it's not just Fallout, she watches everything.
That's cool. That's really cool. You got a TV watching buddy now, Breakman. That's awesome. All right, Eric, you're up. You're Sweeto.
I don't really have any this week.
All right, Mug.
Other than finally being able to play Shantae and Wild Guns Reloaded.
Yeah, there you go, Mug. You're Sweeto.
Well, I'm gonna go with Rogue One turning out to be pretty much the best Star Wars movie since 1980.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. We might as well do our review now because I think we've all seen it. Breakman, you saw it too, right?
Rogue what now?
Rogue One, the Star Wars epic movie.
Yeah, everybody who doesn't want spoilers should probably just take your head off.
This
right
is
now.
I will try to do it spoiler free, but no promises.
There is one cameo from a character. I was just like, okay, that was really contrived, and the movie is kind of worse for it.
Yeah,
we'll have to talk about it. All right, let me start because my Sweeto is also Rogue One. I felt myself nodding off the first half hour or so, maybe 25 minutes or so. It to me the pacing was a little slow at the beginning. But, man, once that movie picks up, it is spectacular. Go ahead, Mug.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was only the first scene that was a little on the slow side. I mean, once they got past that, I was just like, okay. Then actually, I thought it was kind of moving at a breakneck pace. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing stuff here.
Well, I think to me, it's more like 25, 30 minutes. I mean, they had the stuff that had happened at the beginning with the daughter and the family and stuff, but. I don't know. It just seemed like a little too slow pace for me. But once it picked up, man, was that an exciting movie. I went into it not being a huge Star Wars fan. I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not a big Star Wars fan. I like the Star Wars.
Let me ask you, are you a big war movie fan?
I like certain war movies. I like Saving Private Ryan, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's
a good movie. Cool. I love war movies. I've seen lots of them. And this is a war movie.
Yeah, it really is.
In that regard, it stands well on its own, it works well as a standalone movie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like you don't have to.
It puts the war in Star Wars, and it lets you remind you that this is actually lore, because you get to see occupation and stuff like that.
Yeah, and also lots of people die.
I was going to say, and that's the big thing.
Lots of people die.
I knew going into this movie it was supposedly a war movie, but as I'm watching, I was like, this is definitely a war movie. Let's see here. Who's going to die? He's going to die. He's going to die. That guy's going to die. Oh, wait. Everybody's gonna die. Never mind.
I mean, literally, I was like, this thing, it turned into the Wild Bunch. Literally, no one survives. Like, all of the, you know, I think the only named characters that survive are Tarkin and Darth Vader.
Which one was?
It's like,
Well, that's because Mon Mothma. They want to eliminate any inconsistencies that might happen and not create retcons.
And Bail Organa. Yeah. Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
I liked that they got Jimmy Smits back to reprise his role. That was cool.
Yeah,
that was cool. I thought, okay, we're going to talk about
Tarkin. It's weird though.
Speaking of Vader, man, Vader, I wish I could have seen a little more Vader in there. He was fucking badass, man.
Like, he was, and I'll say, actually, I kind of like the fact that, you know, they don't focus on him. It's just like, you see just enough to where it's like, if you know, like in the opening moments of A New Hope, it's like they convey just by presence how dangerous he is.
Yeah.
And in Rogue One, when he shows up, it's like, okay, there's more than presence. Like, he's actually a physical, like, you know, he's a walking nightmare. One thing that he did. There's a scene with him and what was his name? Krennic?
Yeah,
the guy who was in charge. Yeah, who was in charge of the Death Star's construction. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I really didn't need to have Vader drop a one-liner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, be careful you don't. He also dropped one-liners in the original trilogy. Sure, they weren't as cheesy, but they were still cheesy.
I don't remember the line. What was the line?
He accepted Captain Nita and then dead.
Well, that's not really
a one-liner. I love that line.
When he's choking Krennic, he says, "Be careful you don't choke on your aspirations."
Oh, yeah.
Which is a double pun, because when you aspirate something, like if you aspirate liquid, it means you breathe it into your lungs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about Vader, and one of my favorite things has always been about Vader, is when he walks out, like the guys who aren't wearing stormtrooper helmets, where you can see their faces and stuff, they swallow. Yeah. They usually take a gulp.
Yeah,
I'm fucking terrified of him.
Well, we got to see why, man. I mean, holy fuck!
But I wanted to mention there was a couple little technical quibbles that I had. There's a scene when, you know, everything goes to shit in the town, where Jen rescues the little girl. This was just an audio thing that got me. She's like, okay, this kid is obviously about 6 or 7. They're using the sound of a baby, like a 1-year-old crying.
I noticed that too. I was like, what?
What was weird, and then they used the exact same sample twice in a row.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, oh, baby
God. But it's just like, I mean, it was just like someone hit the keyboard once and then hit the keyboard the same key, you know, a second time. And I was just like, dude, it's just like, that's so easy to
I'm
to
sure
fix.
We're not.
You can
I'm,
find, yeah. you know. Like, you've all got kids. Record one of your kids crying. Yeah, you know,
reminds me of the. I was mentioning the Wilhelm scream. It's like, I'm surprised it didn't make an appearance in this movie.
I noticed that too, Mug, and I was like, I was thinking the same thing. We can't be the only ones thinking that either. Like that's got to be.
But the other thing was like I mentioned the cameo. Just like, oh, that's really contrived. Where Jen runs, like she bumps into the guy who's like, you know, oh, you just watch yourself. I'm like, and it's very obviously meant to be the same guy walrus face guy.
He looks too young, though, compared to
that scene. Bothered me just a little bit, because when they're moving away, like the one guy who apparently didn't speak English before, is like, let's go.
Which one are you referring
to? Like, suddenly he speaks basic, and I'm like, what the? I guess maybe he just didn't speak it before, but it was insinuated that he didn't speak basic.
Yeah. Maybe he couldn't. Did he actually say the word, like a word in English?
I thought it was, yeah. That's
okay,
what I thought.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Frank, do you know which what we're talking about?
I remember a scene like
from
like
the original. When they go in the bar scene,
yeah,
and he's
like,
Hope.
Yeah, he doesn't, you know, like the walrus face guy, the guy with the fucked up nose goes, he doesn't like you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't like you either.
Yeah.
We, like, well, it's like, you know. You should watch yourself. We're wanted men. Yeah. I have the death sentence on 12 systems. Yeah, I'll be careful. Yeah. You'll be dead. Yeah. And it's like those two guys appear out of nowhere. They just happen to be on this planet. I was like, that's a little
That's a
hokey.
Stretch. Yeah. Dungeon Buster
that
says,
was just kind of distracting.
Yep. Dungeon Buster.
And
says,
I thought it was cool that it's like, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to recreate Peter Cushing. I was like, and it looked okay.
I thought that one was
really,
well done.
Really looked like CG most of the time, and I was just like, it's kind of pulling me right out.
I don't know,
To me, he looked like Snoke.
I thought they did a good job with him. I didn't think they did a good job with the other. I don't know if we want to mention the other, but
plastic face.
It's Leia. Yeah, you know, we're going full full spoiler here.
Yeah, plastic face Leia.
Leia's appearance was the one big problem I had with that movie.
Yeah.
Because there's absolutely no reason she should have been there.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed.
I get the reason why she was in there. Because the movie leads into the start of New Hope. That's what happened.
Point of the show Hope. Like, she was the last sign of hope after you just watched everybody you care about destroyed.
Yeah, I realized that, but I mean, like, she's the daughter of a diplomat and a politician. She's apparently a diplomat herself. That's what she states herself to be at the beginning of A New Hope. We're on diplomatic mission to Alderaan. But the thing is, this basically, like, when the entire Rebel fleet is going out for this major battle, you know, there's no reason that this diplomat should have been on board this ship that was in, you know, this, you know, the Tantive IV launched.
Just cut away to a different scene.
Well, no, the Tantive IV, because it was like, from what I saw, it looked like, I mean, maybe, you know, I need to watch it again. Maybe I'm mistaken, but it looked very much to me. What had to, it had to have been a part of the battle because they gave him the physical, you know, the plans were broadcast onto the big ship that had the Mon Calamari, commander. And then it was the data was transferred because like email and that kind of thing doesn't exist in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. So like, that's why they transferred they copied the plans onto that little, data sheet thing. And then you had that amazing scene of Darth Vader coming on board and, wrecking house. And then handing it, the guy hands the thing off. But like the physical, that sheet is what she was holding in A New Hope when she puts the thing into, R2's little data port dealie. So it's like she had to physically be there, and there's no reason for her to physically be at the site of that battle.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, it's like, is this going to be one of those things where it's like if you'll get some context from a book or something like that?
Yeah,
and it's like,
maybe.
Basically, like as it stands, her appearance in the movie is a really, really big Deus Ex Machina.
We need to find out.
No, I think her appearance in the movie was all about like, this is like we've killed everybody you love. We want to give you that little glimmer of hope, and here.
Oh yeah, I mean, I understand.
You know what's coming. Well, here's Leia. You know what's coming now. She is going to help save the galaxy.
Well, oh yeah, I mean, I get that. Hope. But I mean, in terms of actually the story that they're telling, it's it was just like she shouldn't have been there. It doesn't make logical
sense. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I'm just saying what I think. Yeah. The point of her being in there?
Let me.
But yeah, it doesn't make sense that she was going
unless
into
they
battle.
Were using her as. The ship she was in as a security detail because she was on a mission anyway, so why not?
Well, maybe
it's their plan all along.
Yeah, but the weird thing was, I mean, the ship was docked inside the, docked inside the one. Actually, I have a question though about that battle. Yeah. I thought the rebel ships that had they basically looked like weird spindly handguns. I thought those were medical frigates.
I don't know. I don't know Star Wars.
I remember that was like that's what they when at the end of Empire when they were they were healing him up. That's what he was on. And it's like this is the the Rebellion's medical frigate.
Maybe
an Alliance medical frigate. I'm like, so why are these Alliance medical frigates rushing into battle en masse? I'm like, I didn't. I was like, was that just an oversight or
it was basically the whole fleet.
Yeah.
All right, let me go through chat here. Dungeon Buster says,
I thought his point was it was just like this is the entire fleet. This is what we've got. We need this. Like this was an all-out war.
I mean, although one thing that works really well there is that kind of underscores, seeing Rogue One and then watching A New Hope is like, wow, this really underscores just how desperate their situation is because most of the fleet is gone.
Yeah.
You know, there's a, you know, tons and tons of losses. Holy crap, that the Star Destroyer crash.
Yeah.
That was awesome as hell.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster.
There's something that's always amazing about watching a Star Destroyer go down, but it was even more amazing the way they did it in this.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, I didn't know that the Death Star was capable of doing a localized explosion rather than just blow up a planet.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, it's like, because, you know, it's like, well, you're you know, basically working full power.
I just thought it was just
too
powerful to do something like that. That's all.
Yeah. You know what I actually have?
One thing that surprised me, though, like they made a big deal of the crystal that she wears, and yet they never did anything with it. And I was thinking, I wonder, was that one of those things that, because I figured it's like, okay, this, you know,
the Kyber crystal is what I was
exactly.
Thinking.
I was thinking it's going to be revealed as the Kyber crystal.
Yeah.
But they never did anything with it. And I know that the movie went through some reshoots because Disney wasn't happy with the way that the movie looked originally. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the things. And if you look at the trailers and stuff, there are several lines, like just like in The Force Awakens, there are several lines that you don't hear. And, you know, like the line that we're rebels, I rebel. You know, that doesn't show up in the movie.
Maybe later on, they actually survived the explosion of the planet and someone retrieved it. Somehow it ends up in Luke's hands, and that's how he makes his new lightsaber.
That would suck. That would suck. All right.
God, that would be so fucking lame.
Yeah. Let me.
I'm sorry. That would be Jabba the Hutt back in the New Hope lame.
Yeah. Let me.
Maybe
the crystal has Eric, like some mystic power and it can restore the memories of those previous wielders, and which is why when Rey picks up the lightsaber, she sees all these things. All
right, Eric, that's so fiction. Hang on. Let me get through some stuff here. The point you guys made about the starship, how it was crashed into and stuff, I thought that was a little lame because you have that big
Star Destroyer. No, those weren't super Star Destroyers. Those were just regular
those
ones.
Big ass that, you know, how it crashed into the thing and the little that little ass ship had enough power to do that to ram it into the other one.
I think it killed its engines.
I thought that was a little.
It's called a hammerhead, and yeah, their engines were dead at the time. Okay. Like they were completely out of power.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what those ion the ion torpedoes were like. That's what they did. That's why you all that all the electricity going over the ship because it had all of its power killed.
Right.
And Frank, this is in space.
Yeah.
So
hang on. Wait. Break. Mass is still a thing in space. I mean, and like I will admit, it's implausible. If they had done like several of them instead of just the one, it would have been it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I could suspend disbelief for that because it's a Star Wars space battle.
They had a
Star Destroyer in atmosphere. There's absolutely no way that thing could stay there.
Right. Okay.
Fall apart. I mean, it would like be torn apart by gravity.
Right, Mug, let me get through chat because there's a lot in chat here that I got to get to. Okay. Let's see. When the rebels attacked the base, Orso's father was out. They hit everything except Krennic's shuttle. Why? I agree with that. That was kind of lame. And then he's talking about the CG with Peter Cushing. He's like, for a second or two, he was like, oh, they found a good lookalike before, hey, CG. I think Leia was supposed to deliver the data to the Senate herself.
I thought she was heading to Yavin. I thought she was trying to get back to the Rebel base with it.
That's a good possibility. That's a good explanation. And they could trust her. Bail Organa even said that she needs some trust. Okay. Frigates, but they can be repurposed, Dungeon Buster. Let's see. I've had a feeling that uses started Destroyer to hit the shields as soon as those ion torpedoes wrecked one. Okay, that's cool. Dark Forces also had a different story in how the Death Star plans were stolen. I do remember that. This wasn't the way the plans were originally stolen, but whatever.
It's canon now.
I was going to say, there's a lot of things that have changed. Yeah. I'm hoping Star Wars Rebels like redoes how they got the X-Wing fighter because they haven't done that yet, and I'm hoping they do that because I think they could do a cool story with it.
Yeah.
That's off topic. Sorry.
I'm giving Rogue One an 8 out of 10. I thought it had a couple of technical flaws. I thought the very beginning was
– I thought that most of the characters were kind of forgettable.
Go ahead, Eric.
But there's a reason for that because –
No, go ahead, Eric.
Well, nobody survived.
Jesus Christ. All right. Mug, what'd you give it then?
I would say I would give it an 8.5.
That's fair.
I would definitely, despite my problems with it, you know, all Star Wars movies have problems, and you know,
right.
even Empire. But it is still, you know, it is still easily the best, you know, Star Wars movie we've gotten in 36 years.
I like Force Awakens too, by the way. I thought that was
well. I would say that, you know, I liked Jyn much more than I liked Rey because she actually felt like a person.
Yeah, I didn't. Rey is not my favorite character, but she was okay.
Rey was too much of a savant for me to like her. But she might get better in the next movie, so who knows.
The only thing that bothered me about Rey was how she all of a sudden had like knew how to use the Force and shit like that.
Yeah.
Which is something that was one of my kind of sort of problems with this is the Force wasn't really in this movie.
Yeah, well, there was a little bit
with Vader, only when Vader was on screen.
I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't have a problem with that because the Rebels, none of them were really...
No, I mean, it's definitely a different way to go for a Star Wars movie.
Well, yeah, and it was. But although I have to say, best character in the movie, it was definitely K2.
Yeah, K2 was great.
He's basically HK and... C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah,
really like all rolled into one. Of course, I love Alan Tudyk.
Yeah,
he like completely knocked. And like, I had forgotten that it was Alan Tudyk doing the role. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, he was. Awesome.
Every time he talked, that's all I could hear was, "Hey, I know that guy."
Dungeon Buster says more Star Wars stories like Rogue One, please. It's not perfect, but I had a lot of fun watching it. Yeah, I really like Jyn a lot too. So there you go.
I can't wait to see the sequel, Rogue Two. Oh, wait.
Yeah, there's not going to be a Rogue Two sequel. I'm not
what,
looking...
Boffin, what about the Boffin struggle, though?
I've already made this joke. I'm sorry. I'm drinking.
The Boffins weren't involved for this one. They were involved in the second Death Star.
I am not holding out high hopes for the Han Solo movie. So I don't know if you guys think that's going to be any good. I don't see that as being super interesting, to be honest with you, and to me I don't think that would add too much to Star Wars as a
whole. I don't know if Star Wars really works on an intimate scale.
Yeah,
what about you? It's like
I mean, it's like the reason that Rogue One worked was because it was about a pivotal event that completely shaped the, you know, like it was, you know, it had, you know, massive impact on the rest of the galaxy. It's like it's a story. It's like
about a movie where Obi-Wan is what's he doing for like the 30 something years he was missing?
Watching porn. That's what he was
doing. mind tricks on
the fans. Apparently, he was in Tatooine for like 30 years. He's probably doing stuff until then.
Do Jedi's masturbate hands free?
They could. They definitely could.
They use the Force to masturbate.
Yeah,
they should.
Dungeon Buster, why
do you think they call it a Force choke?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it! You're right.
Force choke your chicken.
Force there you grip. Go. Force grip.
Force Western grip. There you go. Dungeon Buster says was great to see Mads Mikkelsen. I didn't think they gave him enough. I thought they.
Well, that's why the first part of it, like I think, it went on a little bit too long was because of him.
Yeah,
mostly it's like we have him, we need to keep showing him off.
Yeah.
So he was Galen, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Galen or so.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
He was the father.
But anyways, Breakman, what are you giving Rogue One?
I thought was funny. Saul Guerrero is basically Che Guevara.
Yeah. Breakman, what are you giving Rogue One?
That was the point when they made him for the Clone Wars, because he was actually – he's a character from the Clone Wars.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which is pretty awesome in itself that they brought in a character from the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I give it a thumbs up. I don't want to give it a score, but I give it a thumbs up.
All right. I guess that's fair enough. Eric, what are you giving Rogue One?
Pretty much the same score you've given it.
Yeah.
Eight and a half.
Yep. I think that's fair.
I wouldn't recommend this for young children.
No.
This is a
war movie, and unlike a lot of Star Wars
children's movies, the Ewok fest instead.
Yeah. This,
I don't know. The second Ewok movie is really depressing, I'd think, for a kid. Because after you watch the first movie...
I'm talking about, like, Return of the Jedi.
oh, my bad. Yeah, I thought you meant the Ewok movies. The second one was like, what the fuck? I cared about those characters. What the hell?
Yeah.
They were the point of the whole fucking first movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. This Rogue I hate One, when movies do that, really.
Yeah, this Rogue One was definitely not a kid's movie. It's a little darker, as Dungeon Buster mentioned.
Yeah, this movie is much like darker than Empire was.
Fantastic Beasts was in my
Hold on, Eric. What were you saying, Mug? Eric walked all over you. What did you say, Mug?
I would say it's definitely darker than Empire was. Like, this is not what I would say is a kid's movie at all.
Wow, I thought Empire was probably the darkest of all of them.
Maybe. We're talking about where this is a suicide mission. Literally everybody dies.
Yeah.
With Empire, you know, Luke was defeated. He lost his hand. Han was frozen in carbonite. You didn't know what was going to happen to him. This is like, it's completely unambiguous. Every single, creature's on that planet's surface, at least within that large section of, was completely annihilated. And if you look at, like, just given the size of that explosion, that's probably enough to cause an ice age on that planet.
Yeah, I agree. That was one other thing I was going to mention. Didn't the Death Star actually blow up a planet? Like,
it didn't.
That happens later.
Did they show that in any of the movies?
No. Leia's home planet. They do that to her later.
Okay. All right. So we might be able to see that story. That would be
We have. It came out in 1977, Frank.
Yeah.
No, I just asked. Did they show that? And you said no. Did they show
that? You're talking about in this movie, Frank. Oh, my God. I'm leaving.
Frank's seen it.
I'm walking away from this.
No, I just asked if they had showed
Frank that high.
This is the
420 episode. I forgot. My bad, everyone.
Whatever.
Yes, Frank. I'm sorry. They did show the Death Star blowing up. I forgot you were
in Star Wars. They showed that.
Yes,
okay.
In the original Star Wars movie, the Death Star blows up, and it blows up a planet.
I have not seen Star Wars in probably 10, 15 years, so forgive my forgetfulness on that. All right.
I know, but you were there when they made it. Like, weren't you helping?
I was right by George Lucas when he was making that.
He's in the background crew.
Yeah, I was the background crew.
I'm going to have to go get my DVD and pause the names, because I'm pretty sure your name's on there, Frank.
Yeah, I bet you it is, man. All right, Eric, you have a review of Batman Unlimited Mechs versus Mutants, which I have never heard of.
Yeah, and I'm not even entirely sure Batman Unlimited is a series, and there's just a movie in that series. But it's definitely for younger audiences, and it's one of the most stupidest things I've ever conceived, because it basically amounts to Victor Freeze and Penguin go to Gotham because he convinces Victor to leave the Arctic area that they're in and go back to Gotham because Penguin wants to take over the planet or to the city, and things go awry. And to do this, they enlist the help of a bunch of villains that are in Arkham and bust them out, and they're all villains that have like some weird chemical traits attributed to them. And basically he sucks the juice out of them and makes a serum that he re-injects into them and then makes them giant monsters, basically. And
the fuck?
And of course, that's to fight them, strange. Batman becomes a Power Ranger.
and fights the hell?
Yeah, it's basically Batman Gundam. and guess what? Green Arrow shows up with his own mech, because of course he does.
Because
he has to win a Batman time.
Were they snoring?
If it were Green Lantern, that might make some kind of sense, because Green Lantern could make a mech, but Green Arrow?
Green Arrow.
Was Stephen Meehl the voice for him? Because that would be even more fucked up.
I think it's the McQueen that has been in most DC animations.
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, what's weird is that Damien's in this movie. He's a teenager now, and Nightwing's actually wearing the red outfit, or the one with the red emblem.
That's what you find weird about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I don't know, it just seems like that they just kind of melded the timelines together a bit. But I think Robin's actually Red Robin. He's not Robin. For whatever reason. Or, no, I think they make mention of Red Robin. But they never actually show him. He doesn't show up. But, He's voiced by Will Friedle, which is weird because Will Friedle did Terry McGinnis in Batman Beyond, and his outfit, or Robin's Nightwing outfit with the red emblem on it, kind of makes it look like the Batman Beyond costume, so it's weird.
Devour.
Oops, sorry, guys.
What was that?
An ad. That
anyways, yeah, this movie's pretty average. It's just a little bit above average. It's entertaining, but it's like stupid. It's the same at the same time. So 5.5.
Ooh, 5.5, just wow. Above average.
There's some more comments in chat about Star Wars.
It's only an hour and 15 minutes.
All right, go ahead.
It sounds like an hour and 15 minutes of torture. Freak5cast says, well, of course they need to test it. What kind of fools would they look like if they tried to blow up Alderaan and it didn't work?
Yeah.
And Dungeon Buster
yeah, well,
that
was when – the funny part was
yeah,
like when
blows
they –
when
they
Death Star and said.
Well, no, like when they first started to do like we're going to do our initial test and then they showed like the big screen and it goes fuzzy for a second and I was like – I would laugh my ass off if it just, for whatever reason, just didn't work at that moment. If it stayed fuzzy, it's like, is there a problem? You know, and you have, you know, Tarkin going, you know, yeah. Well, pretty much what I thought. Yeah.
Here's what Dungeon Buster added to that in Tarkin's voice. You may fire when ready. Or, no, I'm sorry. You may fire when ready.
Yeah.
Well...
We're waiting.
We're waiting.
Screen blue screens on them.
Is there a problem? Was it Krennic?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is there a problem, Krennic? No. We've got it. Yeah, just a moment. We'll have it sorted.
How yeah. Screwed would Krennic would have been if it?
Oh, they should have used Linux and not Windows 10.
Exactly.
I like that they didn't kill him themselves, by the way, and he was killed by basically his own creation.
No.
The villain.
I like
Krennic. Krennic.
I don't know. I thought it was a...
No, he was killed by Killian, wasn't it? Or no?
No, he was still alive.
Spoilers.
No, he was well, killed yeah, by he... the blast from the Death Star.
Well, yeah, that's
spoilers,
true.
Spoilers,
that's true.
Spoilers. All right. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
spoiler alert. Everybody dies. Yeah. This is not a happy movie.
Yeah, I really like
this is the wild. It's like, have you ever seen The Wild Bunch? Have you ever really, really, really fucked up Mass Effect 2? You know how this goes.
I tried Freak 5. I promise I tried. I thought it was a really good movie. It's definitely a movie you guys should go see in the theaters. One other little...
The 3D was actually really good.
Kids like under 8.
I was just going to mention the 3D. I did not like the 3D in it. I don't know why. I just... It didn't... I'm usually the 3D guy, and it was not 3D enough for me, I guess. I don't know. Just didn't click on
that.
I did
not see it
for me. I did see
I think Frank's Love Affair 3D is dying.
No.
Yes.
No. I like 3D quite a bit. I thought the Avengers, all the Marvel movies are great in 3D. Doctor Strange was fantastic in 3D. I think that's one of the better 3D movies I've ever seen. I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. But
I think right. Just barely, because I think I did see that in 3D.
Yeah. Let's see.
What trailers did you guys see for the movie?
Some stupid baby company movie.
Yeah, I saw that too. That looked terrible.
I saw I saw Logan, the trailer for Logan, which looks pretty good.
I didn't see that. I saw the trailer for the extended trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I did see that.
I saw that, but the Logan trailer looks interesting. It looks like it's actually going to be a decent movie, so I'm worried.
I don't know. It just kind of reeks of Max Payne 3, where he's just old man Wolvie.
Well, this is supposed
to be
the last.
Shouldn't his healing ability like prevent him from aging?
No. This is actually going with the old man Logan stories from the comic books, and it looks pretty accurate to the comics from what I can tell. I haven't read a lot of those stories, but the old man Logan stories I hear are really, really good. So this is along those lines, and they include X-23. That's awesome. I saw the.
Did they explain why he's an old man and not?
He ages like everybody.
Yeah,
else.
Like he's always been aging. He's just aged slower than everyone else.
He aged slower. That's right.
And this is the future, basically.
Let's see.
I think they don't really say what year it is or something like that. And it is kind of weird to see Xavier in it because I think it's far in the future.
Yeah, but he looked
– he's still alive.
He looked really haggard in it too, though.
Right, right. But, I mean, he's still kind of an old man at the – never mind.
Freak 5 says he loved the Logan trailer. Dungeon Buster saw the Mummy trailer, which I saw as well. I was not really impressed, but I think that movie does have some potential. I'm excited because they're redoing the whole universe with the monsters and stuff, which is cool.
Which movie?
The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Oh, God. I saw – I don't know. That was one of the things – the only – one of the very few trailers that was on Rogue One that I hadn't seen already. And I didn't. I thought it looked incredibly stupid.
I did too.
The first trailer I saw for that movie, I thought it was the next Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I got that feeling too. But I actually think it.
But I saw the Fate of the Furious. Is like okay, that's another.
I think that movie does have potential. I think it's one of those movies where the trailer is not going to be good as the movie.
I saw the new trailer, the latest trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Holy crap!
Do I love Drax?
Yeah,
Drax is absolutely my favorite.
Mine too. He is amazing. Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of
Spider-Man trailer too.
He kind of reminds me of I forget the name of the character in Baldur's Gate with Boo. He kind of reminds me of that character.
Freak 5 asked me what I thought about the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. I thought it was okay. I like the fact that Daryl got out. This first half of the season wasn't as good as some previous seasons, but I think it sets up well for the second half of the season this season.
I am absolutely loving it personally because I like Negan.
Negan's great. That's one good thing. The scenes with Negan are awesome.
And when they kill people I hate, like Spencer, when that guy died, like it's like, yes, this is great. And not the last episode, but the episode before where they basically enacted a scene from the comic where Carl snuck upon the truck and went to Negan's headquarters. It was pretty much identical to the way it was in the comic, and it was an amazing – they did an amazing job, I think.
Yeah, that
–
Even though I prefer when they don't mimic the comic, I think it was just a fantastic episode.
Yeah, I thought it was – I mean, it's above – definitely well above average season so far, but it's not – like there have been seasons of The Walking Dead that have been pretty breathtaking. I thought they missed the opportunity with the whole cliffhanger. I think it would have been much more effective if they did that last season than came into this season.
You
know,
fresh
that aside,
because it took away from the. I think that took away from the season.
Yeah,
I really do.
I agree. That's.
I would have mentioned the Power Rangers trailer, but I already saw that when I saw Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, I didn't.
Ooh. Yeah, I saw that when I saw Arrival.
And one of my big problems with Walking Dead, they always have like a couple episodes in a season that just like random episodes where they'll focus on one character like you really don't care about, and the whole episode is like, why am I watching? What is the point of this episode?
I agree.
I want to know about the guy that was about to get shot. Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I agree. There's some of those episodes that are really, really well done, but like this season there was an episode with you're referring to – I can't remember her name, but she
Tara. She was – she found some other location and stuff like that. But it was just like this is going on when we don't really care about this as an audience. We want to know about this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then so far there's been no payoff for that at this point in the season.
Yeah. No, it's been – there hasn't been. But I think the second half there will be some payoff. The ratings are down for a reason. It's not the greatest season out there. But
I don't know if it's the reason some people think, because the ratings are down for a lot of shows, including the NFL.
Yeah, it's really weird. But all right, guys, unless you guys have anything to talk about in free-for-all, I really don't have anything this week. We talked Rogue One. I think that should be effectively our free-for-all this week.
You Spoiler guys alert. Everyone dies.
Yeah. Do you have anything?
Again, that's the story of life. Everybody dies.
Freak 5 Cast says, oh, man, Tara's boobs were the show stealer of the episode. Yeah, she was noticeably – she noticeably just had a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
In real life, she actually had just had a kid, and it was kind of like wow, like she looks like she just had a kid.
Yeah. I agree with that. What else was I going to say? Do you guys have anything else before we end the show? Mug, do you have anything you want to talk about? Apparently not. Breakman.
Nope, nothing for me. Sorry, okay. Phone was on mute.
Breakman, do you have anything?
He's tired of us.
Yeah.
No, I think I've talked enough.
And you, Eric, do you have anything else?
No, but I will mention my plugs.
All right, let's go with plugs. Go ahead, Eric.
I've got reviews of Mystery Chronicle One Way Heroics and Pyropop Plus on BostonMasterBrigade.com. And I'll also do a PSA for towns. You should supply your towns with keyboards because I shouldn't have to go all the way to Walmart to look for one.
Yeah, there you go. Anything else, Eric?
Hopefully I'm doing another snack review soon.
All right. Let's go with Mug. Your plugs, please.
You can find me basically anywhere. Look me up at Moria Mug, MoriaMug.
All right. And for you, Breakman.
You can follow me at Break_Man and at RP Grinders. And if you have a Would You Rather, and freak. I don't think we praise you enough for asking us a fucking awesome question. Would you rather? That was a great question.
Yeah,
that one was actually an enjoyable Would You Rather.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't very good like question. The normal puke inducing Would You Rathers. It was actually well thought out. Yeah, kudos to you, Freak Fight, for sure. Anything else, Breakman?
No, that's it.
I have one more thing.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
May the force be with you, and the force is with me.
Yeah, the force has definitely not been
that's
with me.
That should be the name of the episode.
The force is with me.
Yeah.
I'm with the force, and the force is with me.
Thanks to everybody in chat. MXT, Freak 5 Chaos, Dungeon Buster, thank you guys so much. You guys rock. If you're listening on the archive, we're live every Friday at 7 Eastern on wickedradionetwork.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. And as Brake said, any comments go to at RP Grinders. We'll mention every single one on air as long as it doesn't become too much, which is never a problem with this show. All right. Anything else, guys?
That's it. Have a good weekend.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
Have a safe weekend because it's snowy.
Yep. Have a great weekend, everybody.
If you got bad weather,
yep.
Be careful out there.
Be careful. Stay safe. We want to see everybody back here next week. Until then, we are out.